Good morning, dear friends. Thank you. Wonderful to see you. Others are on their way. We welcome everyone to worship today. Delighted that you're here. You see the rosebud here on the lectern. It is in celebration of a new life among us. His name is Finnegan Smith Scott. His mom is Erin, and his father is Clay. He's still in the hospital because he came into the world a bit ahead of schedule. Parents are at home and doing well, and we celebrate with them and look forward to having them all back in our midst before terribly long. In the service today, we will, as always, sing the Gloria fairly early on in the service, but wanted to give the heads up that this is a Sunday we sing it in the round. This is just so nobody has any sort of accident as we get to that time of the service. Want to invite our adults, as always, to stay. Well, this is for all ages, really, but our adults have a special program going on in what we call second hour here from 11:30 to 12:30, a series called For All the Saints. Today our leaders are Ray and Charlotte DeVries. What they're bringing, I think, is exciting, and we hope that many of you can stay for that. Now, a very special event is coming up. Please listen carefully as the incredible Zan Morgan comes forward to tell us about it.
I want to draw your attention to the Intergenerational Advent Workshop that is happening soon. It's the Sunday after Thanksgiving in the evening from 5 to 7. You'll find information in your bulletin about it. We're going to have a catered meal, so you don't have to cook another meal after Thanksgiving. Just come on over to church. We have a whole bunch of stations of activities and crafts, some beautiful things, some easily accessible crafts for kids, which you may decide are beautiful. We're going to have hammers. We're going to be creating cribs of good deeds. We'll have Advent wreaths with fresh greens. If you have an Advent wreath form at home, you can bring that with you. We'll also have some here. I hope that you can make it. So that is the 25th from 5 to 7. It's for all ages. And as with all things, if you are interested in helping, please let Christina Alanis or me know, and we would be happy to help, happy to find a spot for you to help us. So we'll see you at that Advent workshop. Thank you.
Now let us join together in the responsive call to worship. We are called in many directions. There are many claims upon our attention, energies, resources, and loyalty. We are a people who have received much and who have much to give. Come with joy to worship God, who has poured out every good gift.
Thank you. Please stand if you're able. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are gathered together here in your name. Help us to stop, to breathe you in, to relish this chance to connect with you and with each other. Let us rest with you for a moment in this space so that we might be restored, so that we might be made ready to go out into the world to do the hard work of entering into its brokenness with your love. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Soul.
O Lord my God, you are very great.
You are clothed with honor and majesty, wrapped in light as with a garment.
O Lord, how great are your works.
May the glory of the Lord endure forever.
I will sing to the Lord all my life and celebrate my God with music as long as I live.
May my meditation please the Lord, as I have delighted in the Lord God.
Thank you.
One of our happiest occasions in worship is when we are privileged to offer a child or children together into the love of God and into the care of the church. We are thrilled today to be doing this with the Bond family. Jeremy and Audrey present their two children today, Henry and Lillian. Would the four of you please come forward? Let's pray together. Merciful God, giver of all life, thank you for the gift of these children. Help us to know that as high as our joy may be in their lives, your joy in them soars higher still. That as much as they belong to us, they belong far more fully to you. You have joyfully given these children, dear God, so may we never slight them, but always take delight in them and give them every good gift that they may one day know the fullness of you, who are the best gift and giver, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Audrey and Jeremy, God has given you these children. What are their names?
Henry.
In presenting your children to the Lord, do you promise, in dependence upon God's grace and with the help of the church, to teach the gifts and the claims of our faith, and by prayer, word, and example, raise them in the nurture, discipline, and love of the Lord?
Yes.
Brothers and sisters of the household of faith, this family is your family. Your love and example are crucial in their children's growth in the Lord. Will you pray for these children and for their parents and family? Will you support them by your faith and do all in your power to make this church a real home in Christ for them? Now, with God's help, we will seek to follow Christ ourselves, that these parents may be strengthened in their faith, and that these children, surrounded by love, may be nurtured in the way that leads to life.
And again, let us pray. God of all grace, we pray for Audrey and Jeremy in the demanding and joyous enterprise of parenting. Give them patience and wisdom. Keep them close to you, that their own faith might be perceived by their children, and give nurture to them and lead them to a faith of their own. Bless Henry and Lily. Keep them safe and healthy. Make them strong and wise, and most of all, full of your love, so that they may fulfill the great promise of their lives. And keep us all faithful to them, to all of your little ones. Help us to spend our days and years in prayer and earnest labor to bequeath to them a world at peace and a church on mission and a future that is free and faithful. May we touch their lives tenderly and be ready always to listen and to love as in Jesus Christ you have loved all of us as your children, in whose name we pray. Amen.
here in the flesh. He took children and held them in his arms. Now we are the body of Christ, dear Lord, and it is our sacred privilege to take the children, to bless and hold, to teach and learn, to commit them with all the love of God to the high purpose of their lives. Bless your child.
Hear now a reading from Paul's letter to the Corinthians. We want you to know, brothers and sisters, about the grace of God that has been granted to the churches of Macedonia. For during a severe ordeal of affliction, their abundant joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For as I can testify, they voluntarily gave according to their means, and even beyond their means, begging us earnestly for the privilege of sharing in this ministry to the saints. And this not merely as we expected. They gave themselves first to the Lord, and by the will of God, to us, so that we might urge Titus that as he has already made a beginning, so he should also complete this generous undertaking among you. Now, as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love for you, so we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking. The word of the Lord.
Before Peter and I were married, we went to an art museum in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It was the middle of the week, the middle of the day, and the parking lot was almost empty. But instead of parking near the door, Peter selected a spot way off in the corner. And when I asked why, he said, "So people who can't walk can have those spaces." That's what I call a generous spirit. Giving not because it's required or rewarded or even noticed, but because we have something to give and it could make the world better for others. And it's a very lovable quality in a person. He also can make pies from scratch. But this quality of generosity, all of us have it. And like every gift or ability, it gets better with practice. Last week, some of us had the privilege of hearing Sam Kidd, a lifelong member of this church, sing his magnificent senior recital. Sam didn't just wake up one day and decide to make amazing music with his voice that can fill a whole auditorium, singing in French and in German and many other languages probably. He started at the beginning, and he practiced day by day and year after year. I didn't grow up knowing much about money, except there was never enough of it, and it was stressful. But in church, I learned that one of the fruits of the Spirit is generosity. That means that when generosity is practiced, God is visible. The Bible teaches tithing, giving 10% of income. And it's a method that is mentioned a couple of times in the Bible. Jesus teaches selling everything and giving it to the poor, and many other ways of expressing God's love by giving, as he did. None of it is meant to be legalistic, competitive, guilt-inducing, or arbitrary. It is always an invitation. Each of us is free and welcome to find our own way to generosity. When I started earning my own money, I put envelopes in the drawer of my desk with cash for groceries and for rent and for gas, and I had one for church. And I decided that I should give at least as much to church as I was spending on clothes every month. Don't ask me why. But that's how I started church giving. After we got married, the idea of tithing prompted us to be more intentional. So we figured out the percentage that we had just been giving by putting gifts in here and there, and we discovered that it was lower than we thought. We tried to increase a little every year. But then I became a pastor, and I realized that I was supposed to preach about stewardship and tithing, and it didn't feel too good to preach it without trying to do it. So I asked Peter if he was okay with tithing, and he said, sure. Giving is countercultural in our scarcity economy. We are so much better and so much more rewarded for getting and grabbing and acquiring. Last month, I helped to celebrate the birthday of a grandniece, Quinn. She was 8 years old, and she was getting presents and a lot of attention, and her little sister, Macy, was pouting. So her mother, trying to make her feel better, said, you know, Macy, you have a birthday coming up in a couple of months, and you'll be getting presents and lots of attention. What is it that you want for your birthday? And without skipping a beat, she said, I want one of everything Quinn has. We learn early. But this is also the child who gives a great big hug when you come and when you leave and many times in between, and who creates beautiful refrigerator art for every member of the family. We get to choose whether to grow the generous part of ourselves or not. Now is the season when our church invites us to grow in generosity. Some would call that joyful responsibility, trusting that the more we do, the more we show God's love in our lives and in our church and in the whole world.
First, we give ourselves to God. So Heather and I tithe knowing we should share and be generous in all things. And here are a few examples of why that's easy in supporting First Baptist. Beautiful worship services and stimulating sermons. Inspired music, including the Thursday concerts, which I especially love. Children's programs. Good people to hang out with. And opportunities to serve our neighbors through the Vesper dinners. Food distribution, the warming shelters, the overnight shelter, Amos and our work in Nicaragua, and classes after worship, like today and during the week, for a time of fellowship and growth. So Heather and I are grateful that our gifts can help support a church like this.
Thank you.
The first portion of today's prayer was offered by the poet Maya Angelou. Let us pray together. Father, Mother, God, thank you for your presence during the hard and mean days, for then we have you to lean upon. Thank you for your presence during the bright and sunny days, for then we can share that which we have with those who have less. For those who have no voice, we ask you to speak. For those who feel unworthy, we ask you to pour your love out in waterfalls of tenderness. For those who live in pain, we ask you to bathe them in the river of your healing. For those who are lonely, we ask you to keep them company. For those who are depressed, we ask you to shower them with the light of hope. Dear Creator, you, the borderless sea of substance, we ask you to give to all the world what we need most: peace. And now on this Veterans Day weekend, we also give thanks to you for those who have served with honor in the military, including those who are in this very room. We are mindful of the sacrifices they made. We pray for those whose memories of their service is difficult. We pray especially for those who come home disabled or struggling with great emotional trauma. Protect them from harm. May the nation be kind to them, and may they know the healing that your love gives. We pray now for these loved ones in particular who are in times of special need. For Joan and Lynn Blunt, Jean Evie, for Stacy, Wilma Duke, Doris George, Bill McKeachie, Jim Suits, Juanita Dieterle, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Anna Kirstein, Peter Mortensen, Saw Nae Lin, Liz and Micah Dalton, Robert L., Marissa Alanese, or Tim Lee, Kate Shugu, David, Elena Flores, Harry, Essie, Mamie, Hazel, Joe, Gloria, Carol, Rebecca Levison, Mark Seiler. And now in silence, we lay our hearts open before you. All of these, our needs, the world's needs, your desire for all creation, we offer into your hands in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Mark. As he taught them, he said, Beware of the scribes who love to walk up and down in the long robes and be greeted respectfully in the street, to have the chief seats in synagogues and places of honor at feasts. Those who eat up the property of widows, while for appearance's sake they say long prayers, will receive a sentence all the more severe. As he was sitting opposite the temple treasury, he watched the people dropping their money into the chest. Many rich people were putting in large amounts. Presently, there came a poor widow who dropped in two tiny coins, together worth a penny. He called his disciples to him and said, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has given more than all those giving to the treasury, for the others who have given had more than enough, but she, with less than enough, has given all that she had to live on." The word of the Lord. And now it's time for time as children. So if the children would come forward as we sing. Talking about stewardship, giving to God. We heard prayers about it. We heard stories about it, some funny stories about it today. And you guys, you kids, are an important part of this church. You make a difference too. And so the grown-ups got their pledge cards in the mail a week and a half or so ago. You're going to get your pledge card today. God asks us to be generous, to give back to God, because God gives to us. That's our response. We give back to God. And so we're going to be intentional. That means we're going to make a specific choice about a way we want to give back to God. It says, "With a grateful heart for all God has given me, I will give back to God. I will give back to God by being a steward of my relationships with God, my relationship with God, my relationship with others, my own body, mind, and spirit, my choices, my time, my belongings, and my talents." And on the back, you'll see there's a little letter and some ideas of things you might do. You might pledge to give help to somebody when you see that they need help. You might pledge to read a Bible story every day. You might pledge to do service projects, 3 service projects this next year. You get to decide. And then next Sunday during Time as Children, we're going to gather these pledges and we're going to offer them to God. The grown-ups, too, are offering their pledges to God next week, too, over the last couple of weeks and by next week. So we're going to do this together, too, kids, because you make a difference here. So you get to make a choice about how you are going to give back to God, and we will ask God to bless it. We're so grateful that you are part of this community and that you help others see God's love. Let's pray together. God, I thank you today for these kiddos. They are an important part of our church, and they make a difference. I ask that you would be with them this week as they make a choice about how they're going to show the love that they have received from you, how they're going to show it back to you. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Will you pray with me? Lord, now may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As you know, it's the season for nonprofit financial campaigns, not just here. And if your household is anything like my household, you've probably been receiving a lot of mail lately asking for contributions or pledges. At our house recently, we received a donation letter from the American Cancer Society addressed to Mrs. Sam Halliday. That was pretty weird. Because Sam Halliday is a ninth grader in our youth group, and he does not live at our house. And as far as I know, he's not married. It took me a minute to figure out why we were getting mail addressed to Mrs. Sam Halliday. But then I got it. A couple of years ago, an anonymous person in our church made a generous contribution to the youth group. It was seed money for each of the youth to make a donation to a cause or an organization that mattered to them. So I talked with the kids in the youth group about what they cared about, and then they went home and did a little research and talked with their parents. And then they each picked where to direct the money they'd been given. And some of them teamed up so that together they could make a bigger difference for a cause that mattered to them both. And it was beautiful. The kids gave money for cancer research and for feline kidney research and for legal aid for protesters at Standing Rock, and to save endangered species of animals, and to save abandoned pets, and to purchase warm socks for our Vespers guests, and to help a family whose mother had recently died. The kids were excited to make a meaningful contribution to causes that mattered to them, and they felt empowered to make a difference in our world through financial giving. But I was the one that actually got to direct the contributions, got to get them where the kids wanted them to go. I did it in the names of the kids who were directing their contributions, but it has meant that I've been getting the mailings from all those organizations, including from the American Cancer Society addressed to Mrs. Sam Halliday. Every time I get one of those donation letter requests from one of those organizations that the youth in our church selected, I'm reminded again of how the generosity of one person in our church fueled the imagination and stoked the generosity of the teenagers in our church. One of the things I loved about this project was that each of the kids got the chance to make a gift they would not otherwise have been able to afford. They didn't have to worry about whether or not they were going to have enough to give. The money they had been given for the project had been given specifically for them to give away. It was like a multiplication of generosity, an overflow of kindness. It was easy then for the kids to give the money away. In fact, it was better than easy. It was exciting. It was fun. It was a joy. Of course, it's easy and even fun to give away money that isn't yours. It's a lot harder to give away the money that you yourself have worked so hard to earn. And it's even harder to give away that money when you aren't sure you're going to have enough left for the things you need or want. And I think that was one of the reasons that the youth group giving project was so instructive for me.
that built-in trust in having enough, the fact that the youth didn't have to wonder if they could afford this, if they could afford to give, that trust is actually something Scripture invites from all of us. Can you imagine living with a deep sense of trust in God's abundance? And what would you give if you believed you had enough? What would you do? How would you use your power? How would you use your privilege? How would you use your time, your energy, and yes, your money, if you believed there was enough? We see it in the widow, in the story we heard from Mark's gospel a bit ago. Others threw in their gifts out of their abundance, philanthropy. She threw in everything she had out of her poverty. It wasn't philanthropy. It was trust. We see it also in the story of Jesus feeding the thousands. The crowds had been there on the hillside listening to Jesus all day, and they were hot and tired and hungry. And the disciples panicked over how they could possibly come up with enough food to feed all those people. But one boy, a child, maybe a preteen, one boy brought his little basket forward with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and Jesus blessed it, and he passed it around, and everyone had plenty to eat, and there were 12 baskets of leftovers. The boy gave what he had, and it was enough, and everyone had enough, and it was more than enough, actually. And it wasn't philanthropy. It was trust. And in the reading we heard from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, we hear it again. He tells the Christians in Corinth about the Christians in Macedonia. The Macedonian Christians had been undergoing a severe time of persecution and poverty, and yet in the midst of it, they were experiencing the joy of their faith and the joy of their fellowship. And they just had to share that joy. They had to share out of that joy. They experienced that joy as a kind of abundance, a sense of enough, a sense of more than enough. And they had to share that joy by giving what they could. As Mark Twain said, to get the full value of joy, you must have someone to divide it with. So Paul says, their joy overflowed in a wealth of generosity. He says they even begged for the privilege of sharing. And sharing is a privilege. When we trust we have enough, when we know we have enough to share, it is a privilege to give. It's a way of releasing ourselves. It's a way of releasing our power into the world. Our power. We have it. We have it. And it is a privilege to share it. Sharing is a privilege because it's a way of directing our life energies and our love energies towards what we think matters. What do you think matters? Throughout Scripture, from the beginning to the end, the people of God give at least a portion of what they had to God. We call it an offering. But the thing is, God doesn't need our money. Every atom of the universe already belongs to God. Yet from the very beginning, the primal act of worship has been to make an offering. Our giving is foundational to our worship. That's what we're here to do. We give our prayers. We give our music. Yes, we give our money. We give our time, we give our very lives. And it's not because God needs our money. It's because we humans have a need to give. At our best, this is who we are. We want to give something. We want what we give to make a difference in the world. So what we do with our money, what we do with our deep human need to give, is a matter of faith. It shows what matters to us. It shows where we put our trust. It shows what we worship. It shows whether we live in fear of scarcity or in trust of abundance. Giving is at the very heart of worship because it is our deepest human response to God, to give something back. Giving is also foundational to our relationships with each other. What we give, whether that is time, talent, energy, money, what we give makes possible the kind of community we would like to create with each other and for our children and for the future of our world. It was generosity that enabled the early church to flourish, not just exist, not just survive, but thrive and flourish in a hostile environment. The very existence of the early church depended upon the cooperation and partnership of the people in the communities. They assembled in the beginning as house churches, minorities in pagan cultures and in Jewish cultures. They thrived in antagonistic cultures because of their radical generosity in supporting each other and in supporting the advance of good news. Their offerings made possible the alternative community they were creating. You do realize, of course, don't you, that the same is true for us. Our giving makes possible the alternative community we imagine, we hope for, we believe in. Every single good thing that happens in this congregation and through this congregation in our world happens because of our offerings and the offerings of people who came before us. We live in a world, as Heather mentioned earlier, that worships acquisition and that operates out of a liturgy of scarcity. The words that form the foundations of our world's worship are these: not enough, not enough, not enough. And because there is not enough, because there is never enough, then everyone has to compete. It's a closed system where there are only ever winners and losers, where there are walls built to show who is in and who is out. Sharing is not seen as a privilege, and privilege is seen as a right. And when someone's privilege is threatened, watch out. Those who have the most of it will do whatever they can to keep those without it in their place. In here, we tell a different story. In here, we practice a liturgy of abundance. Here, we choose joy and hope, not fear and cynicism. In here, the words of our liturgy are more than enough, more than enough, more than enough. For all. We believe everyone can win because there is enough for all. And instead of building walls, we try to draw our circles wider. We want everyone to know they're in, so we try to make our welcome explicit. And we try to keep learning how to be better neighbors. We try to keep growing in trust. We try to keep practicing the abundance of joy. We try to keep embracing gratitude and generosity as a way of life. And we are able to do all these things because we are making the radical choice to take our hard-earned money and just give it. Give it away. And when we do that, whether we are putting money or checks in an offering plate or pushing buttons on a computer to make a gift online, when we give our money here, we are giving ourselves. And we are giving ourselves to a partnership with God and with each other. We are partnering with God and with each other to spread good news in a bad news world. John Templeton, one of the most famous investors in the world, a pioneer in mutual funds and a major philanthropist who created the Templeton Foundation and the Templeton Prize, was also a devoted Christian. Though he became a billionaire, he did not live lavishly, and he described his goal as to help people have spiritual wealth. He once declared that the success of his life was due to tithing, giving 10% of his money away. And he said, "The key to investing is putting your money in undervalued stocks." He said, "Today, a life of servanthood is undervalued. The lives of children are undervalued. And the gospel of Jesus is undervalued. Put your money," he said, "in things of eternal value." Every week, as part of our worship, we have an opportunity to invest in undervalued stocks that actually have eternal value. We give because we need to. We give because we're grateful. We give because we're trying to believe there is enough. And isn't it remarkable that our giving also makes an actual difference in our world? Because the great God of the universe can use something as small as our money to do amazing things of ultimate worth. Our youth found it easy and even fun to give away money that had been given to them specifically for the purpose of making a difference in the world. What if that is the truth for all of us? What if everything we have, our money, our talents, our time, our lives, what if all of this is for this, to make a difference in our world, to invest in what really matters, to share what we've been given, and to do it all with joy? You have something to give, and what you give matters, and what you give makes a difference. Maybe you make your gifts to this church, as my family does, online. You still have something to give into the plates, which is these connection cards. We invite everyone to fill one of these out and drop it in the plate. You can also make a financial offering into the offering plate. You can also give a pledge card into the plate, though there's still time for us to collect these next Sunday. If you have not received one of these, we have many, and we don't want to leave you out. We don't have one for Mrs. Sam Halliday, but we have one for the rest of you. Let's make our gifts now with joy. One of the things we are privileged to share is God's peace with each other. May the peace of Christ be with you.
Just want to make sure that everyone knows that tomorrow morning, Zan Morgan is leaving with a whole group of people from here in Ann Arbor to drive down to the border in Texas to be in solidarity with children in the tent city, essentially, and to bear witness to what's going on there, to learn more, to share in love and compassion with a group of, it's an interfaith group that is traveling from here. They drive tomorrow, and Thursday is the big day of action, and I'm hoping that Zan will be able to give updates in our Facebook group, our First Baptist Church Facebook group. Find us there. We're also invited to be in prayer with her and for her in the group, to fast, if you would like, if that's something that you might be willing to practice, on Thursday with them. And then she flies home on Friday. So if you would just extend a hand and say, bless you, Zan, and we pray for you.